My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Star Wars Stuff podcast on another Tano Tuesday pre-show for part six. My name is David.
Retro Ray from Countdown to the Geekcast and Star Wars Stuff podcast.
And how are you doing today, Ray?
Excited. I can't wait.
Isn't it crazy how fast we get these episodes?
Yeah, but the sad thing is it's the fastest we get them. That means the closer we get to the end, and then we have to wait.
Well, I want to be all the way at the end.
I know. Yeah, same here.
It's kind of like one of those things. It's like I kind of want to watch these episodes, but I don't want it to end because after the end, there's going to be months and months in between shows.
Yeah. That is true.
What are we going to do every Tuesday?
I'm actually going to be picking up some graphic novels of Star Wars Republic and start reading the comics and possibly start talking about, you know, seeing how they tie into the Star Wars universe and see, maybe talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. High Republic stuff is going to trend really high when Acolyte eventually drops, and I'll probably be right there with you. Maka's in the chat. He says, yo, on YouTube. Xavier Garza says, yo, watching from San Antonio. All right, right on.
Appreciate it.
You're in Retro Ray territory there. But yeah, before we get started, I definitely want to recognize all of our awesome supporters on Patreon on the purple tier. We have Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Texas Vader 76, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel. On the red tier, we have Finmer 526 and Maya Morris. On the black tier, we have Maka Talatala, who's in the chat right now, Nathan Shank, and Evan O'Picker. Thank you so much for all your awesome support. We love you people. Thank you. Continue to support the show if you have the means. If you don't have the means, you don't have to support the show. I just want to let everyone know that. I know people's financial situations change constantly. Mine just changed with increasing insurance rates. So,
oh, yeah, dude. Tell me about that.
So, yeah, it's my budget's a whole lot tighter now. But, yeah, Ted is in the chat. He says the cinematographer for tonight's episode is the great Eric Steelberg. He's stoked for the fans to see tonight's episode. Interesting. Are you familiar with Eric Steelberg?
I'm not too familiar. But Ted knows a lot of the cinematographer stuff.
Yeah, he'll probably tell us in chat. So the big predictions for tonight. I think personally we're going to get to see Thrawn for the first time.
I agree.
I think we're going to see Prydia for the first time, a brand new planet. I think we're going to see Night Sisters as well tonight. Hopefully, I'm not raising our expectations too high, but I think this episode is going to be another huge episode like part five was, Shadow Warrior. I still think that there's going to be this motif that Filoni has set up with kind of the snowball effect. Each successive episode is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and maybe even better and better and better. Coming off of part five, Shadow Warrior, it's going to be almost impossible to top that. What do you think we could see tonight? Are we going to get an explanation of stuff? Are we going to see what Thrawn has been up to? Are we going to see Ezra, what he's been up to? Are their appearances going to be totally different? Because, I mean, you figure they've been out there for a very, very long time. I know Carl, my buddy, brought up the fact that that video, the only moving images we've seen of Thrawn, he's wearing his classic white Imperial suit. You would figure he would have just discarded that because he's not an Imperial loyalist. So maybe he's wearing some type of different uniform. Maybe we never get to see Thrawn, classic Thrawn, like we saw in Rebels. Maybe that was a flashback. Maybe he was in a room with Vader. I don't know. What do you think, Ray?
So, after watching the last episode for the seventh time, got me thinking. So I started thinking, what if, you know how sometimes when a plane's going to crash or a ship's going to crash, sometimes some people would jump off the ship. I'm wondering, before they get to the planet or wherever they get to, the ship's going to crash. I'm wondering if ever Ezra jumps ship and Thrawn stays on board, and then Ezra is trying to find his way through the planet, maybe. But I don't know. That's kind of what popped in my head. But I'm assuming we're going to get a flashback or maybe some explanation of how they got to the planet. You know what I mean?
We theoretically could get a mirrored episode of the Ahsoka and Sabine interaction from episodes 1 and 2 with Thrawn and Ezra.
Well, that's a possibility too.
I mean, because I think a lot of fans think that maybe, given Thrawn's IQ is so high, he maybe either strategically befriends Ezra, or he just likes him in general and they kind of become friends. And then when we get to that point in the show where we see them, they're not at odds with one another. They're really kind of buddies going on this kind of weird adventure in unknown Star Wars territory. I've heard that a lot. That's a possibility. But with Ezra and the action figure that was released, the Black Series, there's a Black Series Ezra action figure that looks like the actor more so than the animated character. And he's in an action pose. So I kind of think maybe now that we're going to get a little bit more action stuff with that character, aside from just seeing him at the last episode, because it feels like he's more of a central part. The more and more this show progresses, it feels like we're going to get a reunion between Ezra and Sabine, and they're going to do something that's action heavy in the show. So what do you think about Ezra appearing in the show?
Dude, I've been wanting Ezra live action for the longest time, because I felt, mind you, at this time frame when Star Wars Rebels was on air, it was, what was it, Disney X something, right? I forgot what it's called. But anyway,
Disney XD?
Yeah, there you go. So it would air on, I think it was like Fridays, I think it was. And then sometimes it would get pushed, so you wouldn't get it for like 2 weeks, or you would get 2 episodes at one time. And, you know, I was wanting Star Wars, you know, and that was the closest thing that we could get at that time frame. And it was such a cool show at the time. I looked forward to seeing the new episodes and everything like that. And Ezra kind of grew on me. Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character grew on me. Seeing, you know, kind of Freddie Prinze was kind of like Ahsoka was to a certain extent, where he didn't really want to show his Jedi side. Of course, he was doing that to protect himself so that they wouldn't come after him. Or, you know, if he used his senses, that means a Sith could kind of detect that a Jedi is using his powers or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he kind of would hold back and not, you know, do that. But Ezra was kind of like having his, you know, signs of the Force. And when he finds a holocron in Freddie Prinze Jr.'s thing and he opens it, I mean, that alone, like, Ezra grew as a character for me, seeing him, his interest in the Force, wanting to learn it and all that. So I want to see where he is now currently, like how much more has he matured? Because towards the end of the episode, the season, he kind of matures. You know what I mean? He sacrificed himself for everyone else. You know what I mean? So he grew from, you know, the first season to the end, where he sacrificed himself for everyone. And that took a lot of maturity for, you know what I mean?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, what's up, Evan? Evan O'Paker, one of our patrons on YouTube here. Thanks, good morning, boys. It's morning where he's at. It's about to get dark for us nighttime. Yeah, that was an interesting character study, I think, to see a Force-sensitive come into his own, train to essentially become a Jedi outside of the Jedi Order and just kind of learn, make mistakes, and grow up beside Sabine, a Mandalorian. And she was skilled. She was skilled with the Darksaber. Of course, we all know she's skilled with the lightsaber. Evan says, haha, 2 a.m. here. We are getting there. So, it was pretty cool to see that whole character arc, and it benefits the viewer of Ahsoka definitely to watch Rebels too. And we've been saying that for months now, so yeah, you haven't definitely done it. Yeah, it's, I believe it's 77 hours long, 4 seasons, 77 hours long. Each episode is about 20 to 30 minutes long, and it's all in chronological order, unlike the Clone Wars. And it's some of the best Star Wars out there. Many people have fallen in love with Rebels.
Yeah.
Cosplay as specific characters from Rebels. You see it at all the different Lucasfilm events, the red carpet events, the screenings. And of course, Chopper has become one of the most beloved droids.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of interesting that we didn't get, when they showed him for the first time in live action, I think he was in the Phantom. And he didn't get like a big like kind of introduction, even though we have kind of seen him in like Rogue One and stuff like that. But I mean, he was in the background. But yeah, he's truly one of the most beloved droids. And I think Hu Yang is now one of the most beloved droids.
I got to get his pop.
And yeah, I mean, I've really, really liked the portrayal that David Tennant has pulled off. He's just a voice, of course. He's not actually in the suit. I know if you're on our Facebook group, I posted a picture of David Tennant getting in the Hu Yang suit, but of course that's not real. But yeah, finding out that David Tennant was a huge Star Wars fan, it was like, wow, that's great. But I mean, who isn't really? I mean, if you're around our age, you grew up watching Star Wars, definitely the original trilogy, and becoming an actor, that's probably something that inspired you. And here's a picture actually right here. For watching us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah, so this is Photoshop, guys. He's not actually in the suit. He's not that thin. He's pretty thin. He's a thin guy. And of course, he was in Harry Potter, and he was one of the doctors in Doctor Who. Ray knows all about that. He's a huge Whovian. So I'm just happy that we have another big time talent in Star Wars, and another big time talent that can show up to Star Wars Celebration, and we can meet him in person. And James and I recorded a Patreon daily yesterday for Patreon, and I love talking about the Mads Mikkelsen encounter that I had in London a few months back. He was sitting across from Andy Serkis, so there was the walkway and the queues to get your autographs, and I was in the circus line, and I turned to my left, and I see Mads Mikkelsen just sitting there at a table doing nothing. There's no line. It's like, that's so weird. I mean, it's the Mads Mikkelsen just sitting right there. He had his handler right next to him. And I'm kind of wondering now how many times I've told this story, but I love the story. I said, I'm going to go talk to Mads Mikkelsen. He's right there. So I go talk to him and I just say, hey, I want to get an autograph and a photo op. And then his handler starts talking to me. And then Mads Mikkelsen chimes in. He's like, yeah, you can just get online. Like, I didn't know that. Like, no one knows that, you know, everyone knows that. And the Wi-Fi was really bad at the convention center in London. It was not that great. It was very spotty. It wasn't totally out. And the ATMs are totally out of money first day. Maybe the first half of the first day, no money. I couldn't get any British pounds out of that thing. And it was unfortunate. So that's why this last convention Ray and I went to in Corpus Christi, it had loads of money in it. I took out all the cash that I needed to get Emily Swallow's autograph and Sean Astin's autograph. But anyways, yeah, Mads Mikkelsen was just sitting right there. And Indiana Jones hadn't come out yet. And of course, he's Galen Erso in Rogue One, one of the most beloved films. And he asked me, what do you want to sign? I said, sign the scientist. And so he goes, okay. And he looks down and he looks back up at me and he goes, how do you spell that? I'm like, huh? And I'm like, oh, spell it right, David. Spell it right. So I spell it for him. And of course, English isn't his first language. He's from Denmark. And I got the autograph, got to meet him, got to chat with him a little bit. I forgot exactly what we talked about, but I know I talked to him. It wasn't a fever dream. It happened. I got the autograph on my wall right now. So yeah, that was a really cool moment that I had. Evan says on YouTube, hard to stay up with these new release times, but I guess it's time for you guys to get it during the day. Haha. Yeah. That's kind of what we've been saying, man. It's unfortunate for our international friends, but for us here in the States, I mean, it's perfect, man. It's so perfect for us because we can do a pre-show, we can watch the show and do a post-show afterwards and do reaction right afterwards.
Well, at least it's just that, because back in the when Doctor Who first came out, the US was a year behind. They would get it before we would. They would see it before us, and then we would get it a year after. And then they finally agreed to get it within the same time frame. Mm-hmm. But that was more worse. Like, so if they were getting Ahsoka this year before us, that would have been hard.
Well, I mean, with VPNs, I mean, that's easy to kind of get around, I think. But a lot of people don't know about it. But
yeah, VPNs, I didn't know about it.
yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. I kind of experienced that whole VPN thing for a little moment, because when Disney Plus got announced, Star, or I think it's called Hotstar, something like that, internationally, it's Disney Plus International, but it has more adult titles.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I was able to get that and watch different movies that were just like PG-13, but weren't available in America. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. Because I think they had like Family Guy, and I think they had The Simpsons, and they had some movies. I think they had like Titanic was on there, and we couldn't watch it on Disney Plus. That's some Fox stuff. So Antonio on YouTube wants to know, do you think Revan will show signs in this series? There was that big rumor that Keanu Reeves was spotted on the set of Acolyte, but it might have just been a rumor. I think if anything, we might get it there. I read a thing where Keanu Reeves wants to end the John Wick series. It wants to end his involvement, his direct on-screen John Wick involvement. He probably wants to be a producer or do flashbacks or whatever. But I mean, if he sees an opportunity to be in Star Wars, can you imagine that? Keanu Reeves at a Celebration?
Dude, Keanu Reeves is like the white buffalo. I mean, I understand there's people who get to see, like, who've run into him in person, and supposedly he's like the coolest guy.
Yeah.
But dude, like, he's never done a convention. He's never done a signing. I mean, so he's like that rare person. I mean, whatever convention could get him to do his first appearance, that would be huge.
Yeah, my buddy who runs his own business called Autograph Alliance, he just got Keanu Reeves' autograph in person.
Because he was in Austin, right? Is that where he got it?
He went to California.
Oh, dang. Because he's been touring with his band, supposedly, and he was supposed to be in Austin either last week or this week.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was in Austin, but the last time I spoke with him was at the Corpus Christi Con, and he said he was going to fly out to California just hoping to get his autograph. But he does that all the time. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So Evan agrees with me there. We met Evan at Star Wars Celebration Europe. He says, I had no connection in the Celebration store, so I couldn't pay for my stuff. Yeah. That was it's tough sledding sometimes in those big convention halls. It's always smart to take cash, but it's a very harrowing experience. In 2017, I had $800 of cash in my backpack because I didn't want to be like, okay, I try and use my debit card. And see, I didn't even know this at the time, that you can contact your bank ahead of time and tell them that you're traveling. You give them like a travel notice. And they won't freeze your card, because I've traveled before and they've frozen my card and I can't do anything. I'm stuck. And then I have to contact the bank. I have to wait for them to unfreeze it and tell them, no, it's not fraud. It's me trying to buy stuff here. So, yeah, I don't do that anymore. But, yeah, that's the kind of risk you run. And then, of course, some of the vendors on the floor, they only take cash, some of them. So,
well, I mean, have you noticed recently, a lot of the conventions now, the people who do the autographs, now it's a mix, because you think about it. Perfect example of the superhero car show in San Antonio. You had to buy your autographs and photo ops ahead of time online, so you really couldn't buy anything at the table. But these other conventions, these celebrities don't take card. It has to be cash. So it is kind of harder if you don't have cash with you to get, if you want to get an autograph or a photo op, you know what I mean? So there's cons doing a mixture of both.
Yeah. Yeah. The cash thing is still going on. My brother told me the story when he met Peter Mayhew for the first time at the Plano Convention Center. This was like in 2008, that time frame. He said Peter Mayhew was just sitting right there at the table, and he's like, yeah, I want to get an autograph picture. And he paid like $20 or something, very, very, very cheap. And he said when he did that, Peter Mayhew pulled out a wad of like 20s out of his pocket, like in a rubber band, and he like put it in the the stack of cash. And afterwards, when he was leaving the convention, he left in the back. And then out in the back, Peter Mayhew was in the back out there smoking. And he talked to him again, like the 7'4" guy out there. So, yeah. And we later found out that he lived in that area, actually. He lived in, I believe, in Boyd, Texas, which is close to Fort Worth. So, North Dallas.
Yeah.
And I saw someone recently on Facebook post his tombstone. And if you go to, I believe, Boyd, Texas, that's where his tombstone is. And it's a really nice tombstone. It has a picture of Chewie with his bowcaster with his hand on R2's dome. And then to the left of it, or to the right of it, is the Falcon. And there's an inscription, and there's a actual picture of Peter with a big smile. And yeah, man, he was Chewbacca. He's quintessential Chewbacca. I love that he came back for as much stuff that he did. You know, the prequels, episode 7, he was in there in the cockpit. And one of the more memorable things in that film was Rey and Chewie leaving in the Falcon, and you know it's Peter in the suit, and he kind of gives her that look and like that that gesture of just, yeah, let's go. It's time for the next adventure. And man, it was so like heart-wrenching though when Han had to die right in front of Chewie, man. That was the worst. And then he lets out that guttural scream. It's like, yeah. Oh man, it's like, it's almost like role reversal. It's not the family dog dying, it's the owner, and you see the dog's reaction. It was like, oh man, it was so bad. It was that was such an emotional thing in that film.
Chewie's, what is Chewie's what do they call his species?
Wookiees.
Wookiees? Okay, okay. So, do you remember the episodes? I think it was either Clone Wars or... I think it was Clone Wars. Where we see Yuhang, you know, training the... Not training the... Well, teaching new Jedis to create their lightsabers. I would love to see that Wookiee Jedi either appear down the road from now, because we really never, I mean, we don't know if he actually died in Order 66 or not, but it was cool when he created his lightsaber, he created out of wood.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. You know,
yep.
It was different than everyone else's hilt. So I would love to see him, you know, hopefully be alive still and we could see him down the road.
Right. Well, I believe we saw him in Bad Batch season 2. Gungi.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, but I'm hoping he survives longer to the point where he can be either in Mando the movie or later down the road with Rey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we are going to get to see a Wookiee Jedi in Acolyte. And it looks like someone has just joined us. James.
Oh, hey, hello.
How are you doing?
How are you?
We're all right here.
Good. Good.
We're waiting.
We're waiting for the big show.
We are an hour away, and this is exciting. I hope everyone's having a great day today. I'm wearing my episode 1 hat. Last night for our Patreon, I had my episode 5 hat, so I'm trying to switch things up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm wearing my episode 6 hat.
There you go. See? Yeah. We're representing here. All right. So what are we looking forward to tonight?
We were having a conversation about Gungi. Ooh. And we were talking about the fact that I was about to bring up the fact that we're going to see a Wookiee Jedi in Acolyte played by Yonas Suatamo, who played Chewie in the sequels and also in Solo. And he does the con circuit a lot. I haven't met him yet. I'm so surprised that I haven't been able to cross paths with him. But he's done so many conventions in Texas. It's eventual. But
yeah.
And he's at every celebration. And he's a former basketball player, Ray. He played for Penn State.
Oh, for real? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I believe he's 6'11".
He's a little bit shorter than Peter Mayhew. He will admit that he is not as tall as Peter Mayhew was in A New Hope and Empire Return of the Jedi. Yeah. But that story's funny how he got the gig where they were just like, hey, what's up, Evan? Somebody somewhere was like, hey, would you ever think about acting? And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, oh, go meet these people. And he goes, okay. And he goes to meet them, I think, not in L.A., like over, you know, somewhere else. And they met with him. They talked with him. And then slowly he was just like, wait a minute. You guys are you really offering me the part of Chewbacca? And that was it, pretty much. He was just the right height and
the blue right eyes. Build. Yeah.
Blue eyes. And he's young. He's very young.
That's the way to do it.
And that was perfect. And he got the blessing of Peter Mayhew. Peter Mayhew taught him. He went through a Wookiee school pretty much with Peter Mayhew to get all the mannerisms down of Chewie. And I think he's great. I think he's awesome. And I'm glad he's young enough to where he can just keep coming back for whatever. Right. Like if there's a Wookiee we need, he's like, I'm there. I got you. I'm going to cover that. I'll be right there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Facebook user. It's probably Colin. Bring on Hondo.
Yes. Hondo for sure. That's one character I would definitely like to see. He's such a cool character.
It's crazy we haven't seen him yet.
Yeah.
It's bizarre he hasn't popped up at least
at this
once.
Point. Yeah, it's bizarre.
Like, there was great opportunity in Mando. There was a tremendous opportunity in Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah.
For him to pop up. And it seemed like it was a no-brainer for him to show up somewhere. And he didn't. And we're just kind of like, well, what are they doing with Hondo? Is he just chilling? Is he just, he's just on Batuu right now, just relaxing? Like, I don't know. But it would be really cool. I mean, could you see Hondo in Ahsoka? And I mean, right now, I think the story's kind of done with this. I mean, we're still going to have Hera. We're still going to have, you know, Jason and Chopper and all that. But feels like the story is now going to focus mainly on the other galaxy, you know, with Sabine and Ahsoka and all that, and looking for Thrawn and Ezra. I feel like the opportunity for Hondo to pop up is kind of gone now for the series Ahsoka.
But you got to remember, though, Hondo always appeared in the weirdest times.
I mean, but do you think he would show up in a whole other galaxy? Can you imagine that?
Ahsoka lands. He's a pirate. He's a pirate.
Ahsoka lands on whatever, you know, or they go into a cantina and he's like, hello, my friend. He's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? But you're right. If anybody would be there, it would be Hondo. If anybody who would just show up with no explanation, be like, of course you're here. Like, why would you not be here? So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Do we know the length of tonight's episode?
I think it's 46 minutes.
Okay. Same as last week, pretty much. And they packed a lot in the last week's episode. So
James, how many times have you watched the episode?
I've only watched it twice. Honestly, I've only watched it twice. It's one of those things that was so good, I don't want to overdo it.
Dude, I've seen it 7 times. I'm not kidding you. And I even text David. I'd be like, dude, it just keeps on getting better and better from watching it. The more and more I watch it, the more and more things run through my head. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I think that's the most I've seen between Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett. This is the one I've seen the most episode-wise.
This is the one, and I was telling David this the other day, this is the one that I would go back and rewatch. There's a few episodes of Mando that I'm kind of like, I don't need to watch those again. Book of Boba Fett, Kenobi. But with this episode, episode 5 of Ahsoka, that's one of those that I will go back and rewatch again, because there's a lot and it's great. It is so great. Oh, someone just asked, hi, when does it start? It starts in 57 minutes. It's going to drop on Disney Plus 57 minutes. Hopefully you are in the U.S. I know some people do not get it until tomorrow. So hopefully you are going to get it in 56 minutes now. Man, 2-8. Where's Evan at again? I forget where Evan's at.
He's in Europe.
Europe. That's right. That's right. Europe. Jeez. What are you doing awake, man? Go to sleep. But then again, we were the crazy ones staying up to watch, you know, Mando and Book of Boba Fett back in the day. So like,
it's kind of acceptable. Yeah, it's so good for my health that it doesn't start till... That it starts like at 8 p.m. Central for me now. For James, I mean, he's at 6 p.m. So James is ultra nice. Lucky.
It's pretty nice. But I like the fact that 6 o'clock. What do we got? Denton.
Yeah, that's near the Dallas area.
I'll say, yeah, that's Dallas. I've been there. I went to a church camp in Denton many, many years ago. That's crazy.
Yep, my uncle used to live there.
Wow, small world.
I think I have family there. So yeah, Norway, Evan says Norway.
Norway cheese.
So basically where they shot The Empire Strikes Back.
On that glacier in Norway. I still love the story that when they were there, the locals were like, it's really cold. And they were like, wait, y'all are cold? They're like, oh yeah, this is the coldest it's been in many, many years. And it was like, of course, Star Wars is there. The weather's going to, you know, do the craziest thing ever. So yeah.
I was thinking the other day, this was just me thinking crazy stuff.
Do it.
Hey, do we ever think that we're gonna see, you know, Hoth again? Are they gonna ever go back to Hoth?
Yes. Oh man, we gotta go back, man.
I mean, it's been so long. It's like, I don't know, at this point it feels like we're never gonna go back to those OG plants. We're never gonna go back to Hoth. We're never gonna go back to we did see Endor briefly at the end of The Rise of Skywalker.
Forest Moon.
And but I don't know. I don't what could drive them to go back to Hoth? Like if they have to hide again, and you know what I mean? Why, what are you laughing at?
That if they have to hide again. I mean, yeah, that, I mean, that's the only reason.
I just can't, unless you do this whole subplot where there is something left on the planet that they have to go and grab, which
That's
pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. If there's something there on the planet that Luke left that is going to help something later, I'd be down for that. I don't know. David, what do you think? Do you think it's one of those things where, yes, we should go back to Hoth, or is it like, okay, we did it, it's done. The planet served its purpose for Star Wars and, you know, and we're good.
I mean, that's just kind of one of those things. I mean, you just like never know. I mean, I think a fan film, I think there's going to be a point in time where a fan film is going to be indistinguishable from something that Lucasfilm releases. And it's easy to go to Hoth in a fan film and record something there. And I believe there was a really, really good fan film that somebody did where it was a single snowtrooper going up against a rebel fighter. And it was like a duel in a way. It was like just a survival story. I can't remember what the name of it was, but I think it was made somewhere where it was just all snow and ice.
I like that.
Yeah. General Grievous 19 is in the chat on YouTube. Hello there.
Nice. I like the picture.
Nice.
And Evan says, luckily in the south, so not quite Hoth here. Oh, okay, that's good to know. Yeah, I'm glad you're not.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
No, also that great story in Empire Strikes Back where there and there's those little whatever machines, those little cars that were driving them to through the set, and every few feet they'd put a stake in the ground, go, and they'd put another stake in the ground, and then somebody's like, what are those for? And it's like, oh, so we can find our way back. because the tracks are going to be covered in like 5 minutes. You're not gonna, and if you don't put this out, you're not going to get back. And jeez,
wow. Yeah. So there is an awesome story. Speaking of going back to Hoth, they do go back to Hoth, of course, in a certain point of view for the Empire Strikes Back version. Yes. Listen to it on Audible. Get Audible and listen to the certain point of view stories, because the people that narrate do the voices. They do the creatures. You hear the Star Wars music. It's a really great experience. Buy the book, too. But Audible, you get to hear a specific Hoth story, and it's tremendous. It's incredible. And it's narrated by one of our favorite Star Wars people too. So I got to jump on the Return of the Jedi certain point of view here on Audible.
Can I spoil something? I'm not spoiling it. I'm just going to tell you who reads a certain book or a certain story in the Return of the Jedi one. Do you want me to tell you?
Sure.
Sam Witwer does the Emperor. He reads the Emperor.
That makes sense.
And man, his and Ian McDiarmid voice is so good. You can't even tell. Like, it's like, man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, his Emperor, his Maul. What else does he do? We all know that he does voices. I mean, we saw the end credits for Ahsoka. But yeah, he's just one of those guys. At this point, I really can't wait to see what he does in front of the camera. You figure eventually he'll do something in front of the camera for Star Wars.
Yeah, and he's a great actor as well. He's been in movies, he's been in TV shows. He's a good actor, and so it's really shocking that Star Wars hasn't, you know, Lucasfilm hasn't taken advantage of putting him somewhere live action. It's like, come on, man.
Oh, he's great, man. I mean, being human, Smallville, I mean, he's done awesome characters.
I like his role in The Mist.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that was really good. I remember it took me a second. I was just like, wait, that's the same guy, isn't it? And I was like, yeah. Because I was like, this dude's amazing. And then it hit me. I'm like, wait, that's the same. That's Sam Witwer.
And he was in the premiere episode of The Walking Dead too.
He was?
He was a soldier. He was a soldier in the tank, I believe.
Man, I have to go back and rewatch that.
I think, unless I'm like fever dreaming here. James, I wanted to ask you a question. How do you say this username right here on YouTube?
Are you is this a joke?
No, I'm just asking. I don't know how to pronounce that.
if you can like phonetically spell out how you say your name, we'd appreciate it.
So for the audio listeners, it's spelled B-I-C-C-E-Y.
I see.
And this person is asking on YouTube. It comes out in an hour, right?
Yes,
a little less than
minutes. A little more than 45 minutes. It's gonna be coming out.
So we'll stop the show so we can all go watch it simultaneously. That's what happens on the pre-show. We won't be recording while Ahsoka has dropped, for sure.
Okay. So getting back to Sam Witwer.
Yes.
So, dude, how can Disney or Filoni, dude? He's cash money. Yeah. How do you not bring him out? You know what I mean? To live action. The games were freaking awesome. I played those games just to, you know, just to see him fight, just to, of course, to see the cutscenes as well. But dude, how do you not bring him live action? I mean, he fits perfect as in age wise, and you know what I mean. I don't see why they don't bring him out.
I think it's just, you know, because we have Rebels that's out, and Rebels is in that gap. And there's a few other things that are happening, and it's not mentioned. You know, it's one of those things that they haven't mentioned yet. But then again, since they haven't mentioned yet, who's to say it's not happening at the same time, simultaneously?
True.
I don't know. It's a really weird way they would do it. And looking at Star Wars' track record, they're not going to redo The Force Unleashed. They're going to just do, he's got to pop up, and they're going to do a continuation of it. You know what I mean? We're not going to see it again. Him to pop up somewhere would be really cool. Like if they do the Darth Vader show, the one that David is very, very serious saying they need to do a Darth Vader show with Hayden Christensen.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And to have him there to then start doing that plot line and kind of making it its own plot line. I could see them doing that. I don't know. It is rather weird that Sam Witwer hasn't popped up live action yet in Star Wars.
It might be one of those things where they have a project in the works and something laid out in the future and they just haven't gotten to it yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe if people keep on watching Visions, keep on loving it, maybe we get a live action Visions at some point and we get to see The Force Unleashed, and then fans can weigh in on what they think about that, and maybe that will spur on something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good. I don't know. Anything can happen. Vader versus Maul, Hayden versus Sam. I mean, that's something that could have happened in Star Wars. You know, we never thought that Maul and Ahsoka would ever fight, and they did, and it worked. We never thought that Obi-Wan and Vader would fight again after Revenge of the Sith and before New Hope, and they did. So, I mean, this plot is something that could happen for all we know. But do you bring back Ray Park as Maul to play? You know what I mean? Like, and then just voice the dub over with Sam's voice.
That's true.
And is Maul going to factor into the Lando movie?
Yeah.
I mean,
I would think I was going to say he has to. I mean, especially if it's right after Han, because we see the scene afterwards. I mean, because it's in between what? Mandalore? Because is it about the time frame when he takes over Mandalore?
I think he's
already he's taken over Crimson Dawn.
The Siege of Mandalore has already happened. So now he's on this kick with the Crimson Dawn people. And Jar Jar's there eventually too. Just kidding. I know that's what the fans would like to see. Jar Jar and Darth Maul hanging out.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
All I know is, I know we're everywhere tonight, but we're talking about Star Wars, it's fine. All I know is I think tonight's episode of Ahsoka, I'm gonna just predict it. I don't think we're gonna see Ahsoka or them in the whales. I don't think we're gonna see any of that. I think we're gonna focus on Sabine. I think that's where the whole episode's gonna be. And then doing that, we might find out a little bit more about Baylan's
backstory,
because he's hiding something. There is more going on with him, and I have a feeling this would be the episode we'd find out about what his motivations are with this. So, yeah, I don't think we're gonna see Ahsoka in this episode, unfortunately.
What about I'm
dead wrong? Oh, I think we're gonna see. Yeah, I think we're gonna see. My poster's in the mail. No, we don't talk about last night. That's for the patrons. The patrons, if you're on our Patreon, you can hear David and I having a wonderful discussion last night.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Check out the last Patreon episode and hear James talk about a certain character.
Now I got to go listen to this.
It was pretty funny. Now I ordered a poster, so she's going to be right over here next to, I'm just kidding, I haven't ordered the poster.
Yeah, we were online last night. We were looking for like Shin merchandise, And
I don't know why, but we're just looking for.
I want to get the standee like I have with Ahsoka, and I have a Bo-Katan one as well. Hopefully they make that.
1:15 a.m. here, and got the flu. Happy you guys getting me through. It, lots of love. Keep up the great. Oh man, sorry, not feeling good.
Yeah, I hope you get better, Chris.
Yeah, there's something. I felt really weird yesterday. Luckily, I woke up this morning feeling better, but last afternoon, I was just like that feeling you get when your body's getting weak when the flu's happening. I was like, oh no, please no. But I'm okay now. We'll see. But yeah, hope you get better. That's not fun. That's no fun at all.
Yeah, it's not.
The only perk of having the flu is you get to take a lot of medicine, but then you also just get to relax, sleep, watch Star Wars all day. You know, that's just that's what I do when I'm sick. I just watch Star Wars all day or something.
Interesting.
But yeah, so I think we're going to see Shin. I think we're going to see Baylan.
Baylan and Shin Hadi on the planet near Odin. This should be their background story episode. Yeah, I'm really curious about Odin and how that's going to factor in, because we've seen the map and people have deciphered the names of the planets in the credit sequence, the end credits, and Odin is a planet that's just out there. And of course, we all know Odin is tied to Norse mythology, just like Shin and Balin's names are tied to Norse mythology. And Ragnarok, they were the two wolves that Odin unleashes to devour the sun and the moon to start Ragnarok. So... And then Maroc was also, I think that was more like French or whatever the Arthurian legend is for the Knights of the Round Table stuff. Maroc was a knight that was cast a spell upon from Morgana Le Fay, I believe her name is. There am I crossing...
Morgan
Elizabeth. It tracks.
Yeah, Shin Hadi, is that her last? Is that actually her last name? Or
he spelled it out phonetically. I think it's more like H A T I,
but I like that spelling. That spelling is a little more. Notice the last three top tiers, nothing came.
So Chris says, notice the last episode was top three for James Nothing to Pass the Music of Star Wars at number one.
Oh man. That's gonna haunt me for the rest of my life. I'm gonna be old and someone's gonna bring that up to me. I'm like, crap, I did say that. Pretty sure that's a joke. Uh-huh. No, that's are you talking about the Shin Hadi? No, that's the spelling. That is the proper spelling of Shin. Just kidding. But no, I will say, I will, Chris, I will have to do another list. There's a lot that's happened in my life and in Star Wars since then. So I will have to do another top 10 Star Wars.
So, James, maybe you got to fill in the listeners and the viewers on what we're talking about here, what you're referring to.
We don't have to do that.
It's a very classic episode. I think maybe the first year of us doing the podcast.
It was around the first year of us doing the podcast, and Joseph and I were doing an episode, and I did something stupid. All right, I said something really stupid, and it's haunted me ever since then. And in that episode, I did say, okay, I'm gonna redo the list, and I did shift some things to where I did do a proper list, but the damage was done. So, and the word, it's out there. I'm new. Please fill me in. God damn it. All right. So a long time ago in a state halfway across the country, I was doing an episode with Joseph, and Joseph used to be on the podcast with David and I. If y'all remember, that's old school. That's way back when Joseph was on. And I had done an episode where I said, I'm going to name my top 10 favorite. Was it moments? Yeah, it was top 10 favorite moments in Star Wars. Not things, mind you, moments. I think I should have said things. I had a pretty solid list, but when I got to number one, I messed up and I said my favorite moment in Star Wars is the music of John Williams. And oh man, Joseph was like, are you kidding me? He's like, don't. Because I'm so bad right now, man. You said the music. The music is not a moment. There's, you know what I mean? And I said, yes, you're right. So I changed it. But we released the episode. Now everybody will always remember that I said the John Williams is my favorite moment in all of Star Wars. So there's the story. And you got people like Chris who will always bring it up. There's always a comment on Facebook where it's there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, man, y'all still remember that thing. So yes, that is a story. I said my favorite moment at all of Star Wars is the music of Star Wars. So my favorite moment in Star Wars is Ahsoka. There you go. See? I would have said that. That would have been a better answer Joseph? For me.
Haven't heard from him Jansen. In a while.
Oh, Jansen. Good Star Wars last name there. But yeah. So thank y'all for making fun of me. Thanks for bringing it up, Chris. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Story locked away for you. See, the outlook now, it's just going to keep going now. It's never going to stop.
Hey, David, we need to get him a shirt. You ever seen that shirt from Monster Squad where it says Stephen King rules? We need to get him a shirt that says John William rules.
Yeah, I need one of those. I saw someone with a in the Star Wars ending credits, music by John Williams. I saw somebody with that shirt and I was like, that's pretty cool. I was working at the park at the time, so I didn't get to like tell the person, hey, I like your shirt. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
And then I was telling, I don't know if I told you all, but yeah, the other day I wore my directed by Irvin Kershner shirt, which is one of my favorite Star Wars shirts ever. And somebody was like, I like your shirt, man. And I was like, what? You know? Like nobody ever knows. Like everybody just looks at it and just like, okay, whatever the hell that means. And they just walk away.
So yeah. But you're in Hollywood now, James. So
yes, true.
You'd expect more people to be able to know your That's line true. Of fandom. And
don't get me started on. I've man, never mind. I'm not gonna talk about.
So
it.
Here's
talk
the thing. So I'm in South Texas. I will constantly see. I live in a small town. I will constantly see cars with like decals of Star Wars and like Grogu. And wow. Mythosaurs and all that stuff. And it's like, I wonder if me and that person know each other. I wonder if that person's ever listened to the podcast. I wonder if we could be friends. So one night, I DoorDash on the side because I already talked about my financial situation earlier before James got on the podcast. But I go to this gas station, actually, in San Marcos, the birth city of the podcast. And one night, I was getting a soda to like stay awake on the road. And the guy looked at my shirt and I was wearing a Star Wars Stuff podcast t-shirt. And he told me, just because you're wearing that shirt, the soda's on me. And I was like, oh, cool. So I went back the next time. And the next time there was a coworker of his. And I think maybe they were together. I don't know. But she had a tattoo of a mythosaur on her chest. She's wearing a tank top. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
How do you bring that up without?
Yeah, you know? I know. I mean, there's a long line of people. I was like trying to get out of there. So yeah, that's what happened to me. So there's someone running around with a mythosaur on their chest, a female too. So I was like thinking maybe she's a Mando Merks or I don't know something along that line.
Maybe she's just a big fan.
Yeah, Joseph says I'm getting ready to see Ashley Eckstein, Matt Lanter, and James Arnold Taylor this week in Salt Lake. Pumped.
Nice.
Salt Lake's a big show, man. It's been popping for a good while now.
Uh-oh. So, another prehistoric story. So, Chris asks, any chance of a Borg Gullet shout-out? Shout-out, peeps? Okay, so we were doing the Rogue One commentary. This was long. This was the first year. This was like months into our podcast. And we watched Rogue One. And when the Borg Gullet part came up, we couldn't stop saying Borg Gullet, like Forrest Whitaker. Everything, Borg Gullet. Hey guys, guess what? Borg Gullet. Like just everything was Borg Gullet the whole time, and it was.
Then it slowly evolved into lies, deceptions.
Deceptions. I saw a meme, and it said if Chopper was with Saw Gerrera. The rebellion would have won in like 2 weeks. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Like if Chopper and Saw Gerrera were hanging out and they were on missions together, the Empire would have fallen much, much sooner. That's all I'm going to say. And that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. We're a lot of throwbacks tonight. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we were definitely like punch drunk or something when we did that Rogue One commentary.
Yeah, it was one of those things. Yeah, where everything is funny. Everything is the funniest thing you've ever heard in your life. And I wonder if we go back and listen to that, if it's as funny as we remember it being.
We might need to re-release it on Patreon so everyone can.
Yeah, there you go.
It's so far back in the archive,
you have to scroll. Yeah. Chopper without a leash, mayhem. Yeah. I just saw the episode on Rebels where he blows up the Star Destroyer and the Star Destroyer cruiser with all the people on there, and like he lifts up the gravity, then he like lets it go, and all you see all these guys falling down, and I'm like he just murdered those people like nothing. And then hey, there's another episode where he opens up the airlock and you see the troopers fly out, and I'm like, oh, they're dead, like there's no Chopper doesn't care. And but yeah,
and it's Dave Filoni,
yes.
Right.
Yes, Dave Filoni is the
voice. So settle this, James. I know you know. Is Dave Filoni? So we all know that Dave Filoni is saying actual English words as the dialogue for Chopper, yeah. And then it just gets like muffled and synthesized. Mm-hmm. So, is he sometimes like cursing in English?
He has to be.
Oh yeah, I that's what I hear in my mind when I hear him. His voice raise up to a certain tone. You know what I mean?
Sorry, yeah, he runs over Ezra's hand, which was dangerous because Ezra's hanging on, and then he runs over his hand. But no, there is a moment in Rebels, I have to go back and watch it again, because somebody brings something up, and you hear Chopper say something, and my wife started laughing, because she said, did he just say, what the is that? Because it really sounds like, he says, the F is that? It was the funniest thing, because in your mind, you're thinking, what? And then you hear him say, you're like, oh, that he definitely dropped the F-bomb. Like, there's no way Chopper did not just drop the F-bomb. And
okay, so yeah. Does that predate what Fiona Shaw, when she was going to say it in Andor?
It has to be.
Okay. Well.
It has to. I think the day we get Dave Filoni on here, we'll be able to ask him. But I'm pretty sure he's dropping.
I'm thinking in Japan when we talk to him there in person.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he's dropping some curse words as Chopper, and that he's able to muffle it to where you don't.
What about that episode where Chopper is going after that leg to match his leg, his other leg?
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I've seen them all, but now, like I said, I'm rewatching them, so I have to like
that episode was freaking hilarious when he's trying to get. They tell him not to go get it, but he goes after it anyway, and then he causes this whole problem and stuff like that. It's freaking hilarious.
Well, yeah, Chopper is just mayhem. Uh-oh, we have a really important question here. Who is more vulgar, R2 or Chopper?
Oh, Chopper all the way.
Well, we don't quite know what R2 is saying, though. I mean, he has, like, very, like, baby-ish type of, like, boops and beeps and reactions. But we really don't know what he's saying.
But we
But Chopper, he does his boops, but he also does... He's kind of like a... He talks with his hands, so you can kind of see more, what do you call it, out of it, you know what I mean?
Emotion. Yeah. Like when he puts his hands on his hips, that's the funniest thing. You see Chopper put his hand on his hips. And one thing I will say, Chopper acts more. He will do more mayhem as opposed to R2.
Yeah.
But when it comes to speaking, I honestly think R2 is a little more on the vulgar side, because there's a few times in Star Wars where you hear like, 3PO say you watch your language, and like he'll say that to him, and then the Last Jedi, whenever R2 goes up to Luke and he's like yelling at him, and he goes, I know, hey, Sacred Island, you watch your mouth, you know what I mean? Like, it's wondering, you're just wondering what was R2 yelling at Luke, like,
yeah,
you know, you came to this island, and he's like, hey, easy, okay. So I think when it comes to action, Chopper is the freak and the psychopath. But when it comes to speaking, I think R2 may have the vulgar. But I don't think they'd ever get along. I don't think you could ever put R2 and Chopper in a room together for a while. Somebody's going to murder somebody. And I don't know who's going to come out on top, but somebody's got to murder somebody. Or yeah. you're going to walk in there and they're both going to be in the corner like, I'm not talking to you and I'm not talking to you. They just ignore each other.
Yeah, they were both on Yavin 4 for Rogue One, and they weren't hanging out with each other.
Yeah, they don't hang out. I still, that was my favorite cameo in Rogue One. It's just, you see Chopper just going in the background really quickly. Do you think Cal is going to show up? You know, we talked about this last night. I mean, if Cal shows up, we're talking about Cal Kestis. If he shows up, he's going to be a little bit older. I mean, which is not difficult to put makeup on an actor. I don't know though. I mean, again, if Cal shows up in this other galaxy, that explains why he's never in, you know, 7, 8, and 9. So, or 4, 5, and 6. So, I mean, that's just that's an easy way to kind of get by with all of this. Do you think that's what they're doing, David? Do you think they're introducing this other galaxy and being like, "Oh, this is where everyone was. That's why
that's the events like the took perfect place. Excuse for everyone that was missing." Yeah, but I mean, there's other galaxies out there too. So
yeah, true. It's like, I mean, why wasn't Ahsoka in 4, 5, and 6? Oh, because she got taken out of that timeline, and now she got put in this other timeline. And it's like, oh, that makes sense. You know, like, I don't know. It's really funny how Star Wars can shift things to where it's like, oh, that makes sense why they weren't there. Because, yeah, that's the big question. You introduce Cal Kestis and you just go, where is he during 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9? Does he die sometime? Where was Ahsoka the whole time? And now we know.
Yeah. And I think that's the mistake a lot of fans make. They assume that, oh, it's just a mistake in writing or whatever, like the exhaust port on the Death Star. Mm-hmm. That's what Rogue One was all about. They explained why it existed. It was because it was put there on purpose as a self-destruct.
From
it
a wasn't point a, of view.
It wasn't, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just kidding. From the logic point of view.
There it is. There we go. Okay.
So that type of thing. Yeah. So don't be quick to judge what we see and it doesn't quite make sense in the beginning, because it might take years or even decades later to get an explanation. So.
Well, also the actor who plays Cal is, I think he's going to be making a con appearance overseas right now. Oh, so if he's starting to make con appearances, normally when you're doing that, you're kind of promoting. Well, I mean, technically you're not supposed to be reporting anything, but I'm wondering if it's because of his character in Star Wars.
Like if he was already booked some type of thing and was going to coincide. Yeah, that might.
Because he hasn't done much in the U.S. So if someone's reaching out to him and bringing him out already, you know what I mean? I mean, his acting is phenomenal. I mean, did you ever see Shameless?
Oh, yeah. Showtime?
Dude, yeah, he was crazy. Yeah, even the Joker. I thought he would be a perfect Joker. But yeah, I mean, he's a great actor.
Yeah, and he's young. And they made the character. I mean, it's him. You know, as Cal Kestis, it's like, and David said, you don't hire somebody like him if you're not going to use him for live action. You don't just hire somebody and say, you're just going to be on video games. That's it. You're just going to stick to the video games. No, you're going to, you don't hire Cameron Monaghan just to keep him on a video game. So
yeah,
him coming live action would be great. And like I said, he'd have to be a little bit older. I mean, they'd have to put some makeup on him to make him, what is he like? What would that be? How many years is that? I mean, I know somebody knows the years, but I don't know the exact years between when we last see him in Survivor to
like almost like 30-ish, that
framework. Something like that. But yeah.
Because you imagine he's like what, 18 in the first video game, right? Somewhere around there, and then what? Vader was. I'm trying to do all the math here. How old was Anakin during Order 66?
Somebody knows.
I think he's boy got to be
somebody in his, chat knows.
Like 2019. No.
Nah, he has. I don't know. Where's Colin when we need him? I know Colin.
Where are the video game people?
All those video game people. Dadgummit. I saw a really funny interview. It was must have been a while back, but Cameron Monaghan and the actress from Survivor and Fallen Order, they were doing a panel. And they said, what's the weirdest thing you had to do motion capture? What's the weirdest thing y'all had to do as a performance? And he said the most awkward thing. Oh, we got the answer. Anakin was 22 in 19. So is that?
Yeah, the year Order 66.
Happens. Oh, okay. So he's 20. Yeah. Oh, he's only 22. I thought he was a little bit older.
Because I think when he died, he was 45.
That's right. Yeah. He and okay.
Even though he looked like an old man, played by Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah, not Sebastian Stan, but Sebastian Shaw. Don't get that confused.
Brain saying Stan.
Yeah, but no. So they ask Cameron Monaghan, "What's the weirdest thing you have to do?" And he says, "The weirdest thing you have to do is when you eat or drink water, because they have the rig on you and they have the camera." He said, "So what they tell you to do is like lift it up here." And then they're going to just move your hand all the way up. And then you have to go like this. You have to go like this and go like it's just weird how you have to do it. And he says, and then when you kiss somebody, he's like, when we did our kissing scenes, we would have to be like, she'd be over here and I'd be over here, and we'd have to get close to each other. And then they would just move their heads there to the kiss. Because
they have the camera.
Yeah, because they have the camera. Okay. And he said, it's like, he jokingly said, it's like when I was like, you know, 8 or 9 years old in my backyard pretending I was kissing somebody. Like, that's exactly what we were doing. And wow. He said it's weird whenever you're doing a intimate scene in a movie or TV show, which it is. I've been on a few sets where we had to have a coordinator there. They had all these rules, and it's kind of a lot of pressure on the actors. He said, it's really weird. But now imagine us pretending like we're kissing each other on set, and everybody's just looking at us going like, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? Is this really awkward? So I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. So yeah, Legacy of Nerd brings up a really interesting question that I don't think we've ever proposed on the podcast. He says, when y'all see Vader, do y'all see Anakin under the suit, or he spells hair C Vader? Hair C Vader.
Or do you see Vader? Lately, I think with more stuff that's come out, I'm beginning to see Hayden Christensen under the suit.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
Before, even after Revenge of the Sith, I still saw David Prowse. You know, I still saw the fact that David Prowse is the suit,
right.
James Earl Jones is the voice, and then Sebastian Shaw is the face at the end of Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. Like, it was three different things happening in my brain. But lately, it's with everything that's been happening, now I see more of Hayden Christensen. Like, every line that is spoken, is I hear Hayden Christensen saying it now. And I just think it's one of those things now, thanks to Obi-Wan, thanks to Rebels, thanks to Ahsoka now, it's really bringing that close, like, that it is Anakin in the suit.
So if George Lucas really wanted to make a special edition, he could take the way Hayden looks now, because he's about 45, mm-hmm. and put him at the very end.
I wouldn't do that to Sebastian Shaw. I mean,
totally delete him from movie history.
And that guy, Sebastian Shaw, was a tremendous theater actor. Like, just he was huge. And I know I heard an interview with Alfred Molina saying that he used to like work with him and everything, yeah. and you know, hear get his advice. But apparently, Sebastian Shaw had no idea what he was doing on set. Like, he knew they needed him, but he had no idea for what. And I forget who saw him on set was like, what are you doing here? He's like, I don't know. He was just like sitting there drinking tea. Like, whenever they need me, I'm going to go and get ready. And then that's when he realized later, oh, I'm going to be in the suit. So they put the makeup on him, put the helmet on him. And yeah.
Wow. So yeah, Zach asks, did anyone notice the age gap between Anakin and Ahsoka is the same as Padme and Anakin?
Oh, it is? I thought Ahsoka was a little bit younger. Because what is the age gap was 5 years, correct? Between Anakin and Padme? Because he's 9 in A New Hope. And she was, wait.
Not A New Hope.
Not A New Hope. What am I talking about? Episode 1, Phantom Menace. Come on, yep, guys. So
Padme was how old? 14, right?
Was she 14?
I think she's 14-ish.
Well, yeah, she's 14. So,
and then Anakin
was
9. So if you do the math, that's 5 years apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought the gap between him and Ahsoka was a little bit more, like 7 years apart or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
But hey, I didn't know.
They look way apart in this picture.
Some good visual effects there for Hayden Christensen. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Hey, dude, my daughter's young. 30 and she looks like she's 15. So. Yeah. People age very, very different, man. I can tell you that.
It's upsetting when you see that. You're like, how is this? I look like, so I just turned 35, and I always ask people, how do I look? Early 30s. I'm like, it's not even that great. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even that. If you would have said mid 20s, I'd be like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, who cares? As far as Clone Wars, Anakin was 19 and Ahsoka was 14. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. You're probably right.
Five years.
Wherever Colin is, Colin knows all of this. I don't know why Colin's not here right now.
Colin's gonna be on the post show tonight. That's what he promised us. So if he breaks.
Well, he was getting to see it on the big screen, so that's why we're gonna get him on the post show.
Yeah, he's not tonight, so at least that's what he told us. But yeah, he can clear that up. So it looks like we're about 19 minutes away from Ahsoka. It's not dropping a few minutes beforehand, so we still got a lot of time.
My theory was 100% incorrect with how, because before they would drop it 10 minutes early if it was midnight or 2, but with the Ahsoka dropping at 6, it drops right at 6.
Yeah. So Zach, in the chat right here, he met Colin at his place of business where he works. And Colin called me and he talked about that interaction. And so I don't think, maybe Zach didn't realize this. When he started talking to Colin, Colin had his newer coworkers behind him. And then I think he said when Zach left, his coworkers were like, "What was that all about?"
Colin was like, "I'm a celebrity. Like, I'm the most famous Star
I'm
Wars
an only
podcaster.
Fan."
Yeah. Can you imagine if somebody made? I know this is horrible discussion. Somebody made an only fan, but it was literally just like a ripoff of Patreon where we just talk about Star Wars. Like, you sign up for it, and they're like, "Oh, what's going?" And then you get on there, it's like they're just talking about Star Wars. Like, I can't believe that's all they're doing is talking about Star Wars. Join our OnlyFans. We joked about that a while back. We did.
Yeah, I think
like so. During the pandemic, we were like.
Yeah, I think Sam talked about that. Yeah,
there it was. And we were just like, "What?" Yeah. Like, stop talking right now.
I heard about a new social media platform that's going to be something similar, but you have to pay, and it's very cheap at the beginning. So it's like you have a friends list, and if you follow your friend first, it's very, very cheap. It's like pennies on the dollar. But the more people follow that specific person, they pay more and more money. So they end up making money, kind of like a
pyramid scheme.
Like the setup we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So Paradax on YouTube has commented several times. He says, "I met Colin at Dragon Con. I had no idea he was okay
on this podcast.
Until afterwards, same thing with Hunter Star Cap, except yeah, cool. Nice.
That's so cool. That's so great that y'all get to see us in the wild sometimes. And yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah,
I have not Colin... had Colin's the most famous podcaster in the United States right now, apparently, because
would tell me, like, just about every day at Galaxy's Edge working there, people would
recognize him.
And yes. I'm like, "Where are the people for me, man?
Where are the people for me?" Like, I'm in Anaheim doing the same thing he's doing and nobody recognizing me. And I'm like, "That's fine, I guess." But yeah, so like I said, I think Colin's the most famous. Yeah.
Yeah, so Zach says, "It was fun to bug Colin about my Ahsoka theories at the movie theater. My friends can only take so much of me being a crazy Star Wars fan or Star Wars nerd that can't keep his thoughts to himself." So yeah,
There's nothing wrong with that, man. That's what we're here for. That's us pretty much right here.
Yeah, what were you going to say, James?
No, I was honestly just going to read that comment. Oh. That he had. So yeah, it's all good. But man, we are 15 minutes away from this episode. And who's the director of this episode?
I have the answer, and I think it's right here. Jennifer Getzinger.
Getzinger. Is this their first Star Wars project that they've directed?
I think so. It's her first episode. And then we have Geeta Patel, and then the last...
Famuyiwa finishes it off.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm excited to see what Famuyiwa is going to do with it.
Hey, did you guys ever see the highlights they were showing on E.T.? Where it was Rosario Dawson and
we talked about that. We talked about that last night about her and Hayden Christensen on the set, and that's so cool. I'm so glad that they released that.
Yeah, you mean this stuff?
That daft droid made it worse.
Wrong one.
I'll find something like that.
Well, I didn't know that they went to acting school together.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I think it was like acting camp.
Acting camp.
Yeah.
If it's the okay, so there's a, I know I'm giving away too much. There's a camp a good friend of mine works with here in Hollywood called Camp Hollywood that a lot of young people go to. I'm gonna figure out if that's the same camp that they were at. You know,
that would be crazy, dude.
That would be amazing if that was you know, if that's what happened. But yeah, I thought that was pretty great that they've known each other all these years, and now here they are in these amazing roles, and it's like, man, this is just amazing. This is crazy that it's happened. And I believe she's 2 years old. Oh, she's actually older than him. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought
yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I got a picture.
Nice. Oh,
that's
I wonder so what cool. I wonder what they're watching right there. It's not a selfie, so it's like, what are they? Watch, they're talking to George Lucas right there. God, can you imagine? Let's call George. Be like, what? What? I mean, I heard the story of Jon Favreau said it, which was when George Lucas visited the set of Mando at season one, episode one. George Lucas was sitting there, and as Filoni was directing, he just kept looking at Favreau and Kennedy like a proud father, just like, look at me, like, so proud of Filoni doing that, you know, directing live action. He was just so proud of him. It's like, man, do you think he still visits the sets and all that? Do you think he still comes on the set? Because I haven't seen any pictures of him on the new Ahsoka set, so I don't know.
I think he got several FaceTimes and phone calls from Filoni asking am I doing this right?
Oh man. They're watching the Star Wars stuff podcast.
Yes. See, that was my initial thought. I was about to say it, but I was like, man.
They're like, look at these guys talk about this and bunch of nerds. Yeah.
Look at all this free advertisement for Star Wars we're getting, guys.
I know, right? They were like, look, she was probably like, there's a podcast out there where the guy has a standee of me in the background. And they went on YouTube, and there it was. There's the standee of Ahsoka in the background.
I don't know if we ever talked about on the show where Rosario Dawson actually shared one of my Instagram stories.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was kind of like, not once, but twice.
Ooh.
Which, I mean, I'm pretty sure. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't her, though. I'm pretty sure it's probably like someone who runs her Instagram, yeah. Probably, or whatever.
Yeah, I've wondered that.
Yeah, she did have like a team of people when I met her in London. Mm. And she had like her own bouncer too, and he was staring me down. Yeah, very large individual. And I just like looked at him. I'm like, you can chill, man. I have a podcast. It's okay. I'm a podcast.
I'm a limo driver. Yeah. it's so great to like go back and see Rosario Dawson's like other, you know, other projects. I just recently watched, I know it's not appropriate at all, but I watched Clerks 2. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I remember I paused it on a certain scene. And I
know what scene you're talking about.
I looked at my wife and I was like, this is Ahsoka. I was like, this is Ahsoka Tano right now. She's killing it as Ahsoka. But here she was like, man, Clerks 2 was a lot. That was not recent. That was like almost 20 years ago, which is really ridiculous to think about. Yo, watching from Chicago, Illinois, time to see Ezra. Ooh, yeah, that's another thing. David was saying we're gonna see Thrawn today. We are definitely gonna see Thrawn. Oh no, don't put that. Like,
someone wants to get banned.
I was thinking that in my head, but I'm like, yeah, we can't talk about that on the podcast.
Oh man, it's terrible. But that whole scene is really funny though. Oh, yeah. I'm usually crying laughing during that whole scene and Clerks too. But anyways,
yeah, when I became a fan of Rosario Dawson, I think it was Men in Black 2. That was when I was really first introduced to her. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, who is this? She's awesome. And she co-starred next to Will Smith, and she wasn't a big star herself.
Yeah, no.
Like, but yeah, she's incredible.
I think I started liking her. This is very nerdy in the movie Rent. She was the movie Rent, and I remember her singing, and I was just like, oh, this she's amazing. And I think I'd seen her before, but that was the first movie that I like really was like, oh, this actress is incredible. And then she was in Eagle Eye, then she did like other movies, and then she was just there, just popping up. Yep. In
projects. I forgot she was in Eagle Eye.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was like the second, or like the other main character of that movie, next to Shia LaBeouf.
Hey, James, did David tell you he got to interview the two guys from Clerks?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I haven't heard that. I still haven't heard it. I know you're not going to release it because they probably were talking about some nuts.
It was weird because Jeff Anderson was the name, right?
Yeah, Jeff Anderson.
So he told. So I'll talk about this story just for you people that are watching us in the pre-show. Oh, I know you want to hear it. So
Jeff Anderson.
So off camera, I approach Jeff Anderson from Clerks, and I tell him, "Hey, it's the great Jeff Anderson." And he's like, "Oh man, whatever. I'm not great," and he says all that stuff. And I'm like, "Man, we've all been watching you since we were kids," and he's very down to earth. And I told him I'm with the Star Wars Stuff podcast. Let's talk about some Star Wars stuff. He's like, "I know nothing about Star Wars." So I don't know if he was telling me the truth or if he was messing with me, because he said that. And then when I started the on-camera interview with him, he started talking about Star Wars. And I'm like, okay. And then I start talking about Star Wars. He's like, "Wait a minute. You weren't going to do this to me." And I was like, "But you started talking about Star Wars." I didn't know what to do. I was like,
Was he mad at you?
No. He just played a joke on me.
Dude, he was being Randall, dude. He was so Randall right there in that interview. It was priceless.
And in case you don't know, in Clerks, he has the amazing monologue about the contractors who were working on the Death Star, if they deserve to die because they weren't all for the Empire. Maybe they were just working. And it's this whole conversation. And it's like a good 5 minute long scene of them talking about this. And it is so funny. And Star Wars is very prevalent in those movies. Do you think Thrawn and Ezra are forced to team up to survive the new galaxy? That's a great theory. I mean, who knows? I think we're going to see Thrawn tonight. I don't think we're going to see Ezra. I think if we do see Ezra, it's going to be at the very end of the episode. That's going to be the hook for the last two episodes, in my opinion. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm 100% wrong that we see Ezra right away, because we've been dying to see Ezra since the ending of Rebels. So we'll see, man. It's anything can happen right now. I think Dave Filoni has kind of just said it's all there. Anything can happen right now in Star Wars. And
yeah, he did.
I'm for it.
That's true.
Yeah, no, it says I had a crush on Rosario since I first saw her in Men in Black 2. Yeah, that's when I first saw her. And I was like, wow, she's incredible. The General Grievous 19 on YouTube says 8 minutes left.
Well, now 6 minutes.
Now it's 6 minutes.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And guys, thank y'all. We have quite a few people watching right now. Thank y'all so much. And this is pretty awesome. And like I said, we're anxious like y'all are. We're just waiting for this thing to drop. And after last week's episode, which I looked up, and it's the highest rated Star Wars Disney Plus show, beat all of Andor, Mando, Obi-Wan, Book of Boba Fett. And the previous week, it was the highest, it was the most watched episode last week. Episode 4 was, and then I'm pretty sure 5 also was the highest watched show on streaming. So this little show is doing pretty good right now. And I think word is spreading. And one thing I talked about with David last night was I'm glad they're not doing the whole mystery box thing. Like, they are showing us Hayden Christensen. They are showing us those scenes of them fighting. They're not like, "No, we don't want people to see it. We want people to come." No, they're letting everybody see, "Hey, this is what we're doing in Star Wars right now." And so, yeah, we're just going to see. Start listening when the third episode drops. Keep up the amazing. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
We appreciate
it. Third episode. You mean like.
Yeah, from 2018.
Like 2018. 2018, third episode. And yeah.
We might get to see the Chimera Thrawn ship. So.
Oh, yeah.
But do you think the ship survived or did it crash?
I think, man, wouldn't it be crazy if it's one of those things where it's like the remnants of the ship is all like messed up and they're like living in there like cavemen or something? You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be all weird.
Kind of like when Rey was on the planet.
Yeah, something like that. Mm, yeah.
Crashed.
Man, I was really, my theory for a while was that the ending of the Filoni-verse movie, the finale, was going to be the Battle of Jakku. Like, for me, that made sense, that it was all going to come together for Jakku. And then it would make way right into The Force Awakens. But now I'm like, I don't know. Now that we're going to a whole other galaxy, I don't know what's going to happen now with this new story. So this makes it a little more exciting. It would never happen, but what if we saw Windu make it? Oh my God. Windu's gone, man. Windu's gone.
I think Samuel L. Jackson is going to be back in some capacity. It might not be Windu survived, but.
Yes, I was going to say, I want Samuel L. Jackson to come back as Mace Windu, but not that he survived. I will be really upset if he survives. And as if I already think so, the music in this show is phenomenal. Yes, it is. And it's really great because you hear some of the old Star Wars themes creeping in too. And I think that's what's really great.
This Facebook user says, no, he only fell out the window. Yeah.
No, he got electrocuted, then thrown out the window, okay? I remember we were going to Chicago for Celebration. We were going to the Windu City. It wasn't the Windy City. It was the Windu City when we got there. I thought that was really funny.
Nice.
But, all right, we are 3 minutes out. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready for this?
Can't get here fast enough.
This is, and we talked last night, and I think this show is just going to get better. Episode 5 was amazing. I have a feeling this episode's going to be just as great as what we saw in episode 5. How they do it, I don't know, but I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit better. So we'll see.
Yep.
Bring back Jar Jar Sith Lord. Yeah, Thrawn. Yeah, Thrawn's the only thing I think would get people excited. And here's the trick. They need to introduce Thrawn, and they need to establish Thrawn as the new big bad for people who don't really know him. And they have to do that very, very quickly in this show. So I hope they can achieve that very quickly. Because for fans like us, we all know Thrawn. We're excited for Thrawn. But the average, you know, viewer probably doesn't know. So I really hope they can deliver with that really quickly. Do you think they can, David?
Recreate the live action ending of Rebels with the space whales grabbing the Star Destroyer there.
What if this episode starts that way? Then a sign off. Thanks for giving Star Wars fans a platform to enjoy before the episode comes out. Can't wait to hear the review. Oh, thank you so much. And yes,
thank you, Sage.
We're about 2 minutes away. Maybe we should go because I can see the numbers are starting to drop. I think everyone's is running and getting their popcorn, getting their sodas, and about to watch this. I unfortunately have to wait till my wife gets home, so I have to avoid social media for a couple of minutes. Uh oh.
Whoa! What? I didn't hear this.
Stop clicking off of it. I'm trying to bring it up. Okay, there you go.
Joshua Hancock on YouTube says, Vanna Sakno said episode 6 was her favorite when asked in an interview. Maybe she has a lot to do. Maybe this is a very Shin Hadi centric episode.
And you know, I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with her having.
Oh, I bet you are. she's a good character. I'm with you in there.
Yeah.
And Ray Stevenson are amazing.
Yeah.
They didn't need a lot to be oh, these guys are awesome. You know what I mean? They just walked in and I was like, oh, this is great.
She didn't even have to talk, just the way she looks. You know what I mean?
I was this is
maniacal.
Just went boom. It was instantly we always say
all in the eyes.
Yeah. True.
What'd you say? Sorry. All right, guys, it's 6 o'clock. We got to get out of here.
All right.
Thank y'all so much for watching. And
see you at the post show.
We'll see y'all after the post show. All right.
Hi.
Adios.
Peace.